Leviticus 11. Can they go this one out of teaching? Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth, whatsoever parts the hoof, and is cloven fruited, and choose the core. Among the beasts you will eat. And that's why we eat cow and ram, whatever parts the hoof. So are there meats that don't part the hoof? Definitely. We are going to see. Verse 4. Nevertheless, this shall you not eat, that chew the cord, of them that chew the cord, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he chews the cord, but divides not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the coney, because he chews the cord, but divides not the hoof. It is unclean to you. And the hare, because he chews the cord, but divides not the hoof. It is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divides the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he chews not the cord. He is unclean to you. How many of these things have you eaten? How many of you have taken rabbits before? Rabbit meat. Anyone? You have eaten unclean things. I remember the first time someone set me up to eat a snake. The funny thing was, it was sweet. Amen? As I was thinking, I said, now this is meat. They boiled it well. And he was looking at me. It was my dad. He said, hey, who like it, Abby? I said, who saw not those one that just have boom, 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 boom. That's what the boy did that. Must have stayed long in the soup. He said, yes. He said, yes. So he said, do I want more? I said, bring more. He brought more. I ate it. So as we were leaving, he said, you like the meat? I said, yes. He said, what kind of meat do you think it is? I said, it's normal beef now. But I don't understand that. The beef is almost tasting like fish. Like, he said, a fire warning. I know a fire war. I say, a fire war, a fire war. A fire war means it's crawling on the belly. I said, crocodile. He said, no. Probably it would have been worse if it was crocodile. Because that means you're just eating a bigger lizard. He said, snake. How to digest. Well, since then, actually, I've been looking for it again. Amen. Whatever does not kill you, make you stronger. So Moses had instructions. What to eat, what not to eat. And you wonder, why would he choose particular animals? But observe his own inclusion criteria. It must divide the hoof, that's the leg, yeah? And it must chew cord. So, while the rabbit chew cord, it does not divide the hoof. While the swine divides the hoof, it does not chew cord. But your camel chews cord, but does not divide the hoof. Let's go on. Verse 8, of their flesh you will not eat, and their carcass you will not touch. They are unclean to you. This you shall eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters. You know, this, fun enough, this actually now almost dictated what he must now eat. And so I've met some people that eat very horrible things. They can eat anything. These are not people I'm talking about. Say seafood. Seafood. The name of seafood, you have eaten nonsense. I'm not going to mention people's names in this church. Broadway, Abby. It's not Broadway. Myself and Broadway were at the restaurant yesterday, and someone was with us in this church. But I'm not going to mention the name. The person was buying one sauce that I don't know what the sauce is about. It's unclear to you. Verse 9. Whatever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you eat. And all that have not fins, maybe like the turtle, but the turtle, is there not a part they call the fin? Octopus. How many of you have eaten octopus before? All of my dear. Let me see. No, it's fine. I'm saying all of my dear for me. If you're taking octopus, boy, raise your hand. Raise your hand, let's know how to avoid you. Nah, this is not part of the message. Out of curiosity, how does it taste? I beg. I will never have to taste it, so let me just know. How? Was nice. Like fish or like meat? None. Like wool. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? Like intestine, like runabout. Ilenwa. Octopus. What other animal stays in the sea that is not fish? Above a sea turtle. You know what Nigel White? Crabs. Everybody don't chop down one. Alright. So you are seeing what to eat and what funny enough, I think this dictated for a while what humans could take or not. Till some people decide that nobody can hold them bound. Which is the word, they have nomination unto you. Verse 11. They shall even an abomination to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the water, be an abomination to you. And these are they which you shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey. How many of you know these animals? Ossifrage and osprey. Now the Bible is teaching you something. And the vulture, if you eat vulture, I don't even know what you're looking for. And the kite after its kind. Every raven after its kind. And the owl, if you see owl and you kill it and eat it. Have you seen that thing before? If it's looking at you, we pray in tongues. I remember one came to our, we were still at Anfani, Ibadan then. I think I was about 14, 15. So our house, we were downstairs. So there's this other house on the opposite side of the layout. So one old was just at their window and was looking at me. And I was looking at it. But with my hand on the door. So that in case he wants to decide to come, I'll just close the door. And when my mom saw it, she brought out the Bible and anointing oil. Say, go back to whoever sent you. Because there's no way you see the hole and you're not scared. The head can roll, go 360 without moving its body. The way it will look at you. The eyes are in front. How can a bird have the eyes in front? You know, normally birds have the eyes at the sides. It's okay. It has it almost at the side, but in front. And it was looking at me and was rolling. And my mom said, go back to whoever sent you. Tell them you did not meet us. Well, he met us. So, if you are now bold enough to kill that one and eat, how hungry can you be? Just so gary. Amen? So, he says, the hawk and the night hawk, the cockerel and the hawk after its kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, and the swan and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, and the heron after its kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. Bat! I ate bat. And it's sweet. There's one, there are plenty at sentence. So there's one of my, you see uncle now? No, everybody's uncle Yoruba. He used to go and kill it every Saturday morning. He will bring bats home. Because after killing it, they're actually very small. I maybe I've seen bats before, don't lie. Thank you. Answer please. How was it? You will dry it like this. Is you better than octopus? Bat is normal meat now. You know, God, it's okay. It's beautiful. Alright, but let's go on. Is it on the bat? So meaning that I have ate things that are unclean. And so as most of us too. Especially those that took octopus. And the fowls that creep, going upon all four, They shall be abomination to you. Verse 21. Yet this may you eat of every flying thing, flying creeping thing that goes upon all four, which have legs above your feet, to leap without upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat. The locust after its kind, the bald locust after its kind, the beetle after its kind, the grasshopper. I like grasshopper. Moses, you let all the big meat, you are not giving grasshopper. But all other flying creeping things, which are 4 feet, they will be abomination to you. And for this, you shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them will be unclean until the evening. And whosoever bears aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean till the evening. The carcass of every beast which devours the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor chews the cord, or are unclean to you, everyone that touches them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goes upon his paws among the manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean to you. Whosoever touches the carcass shall be unclean to the evening. And he that bears the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean to the evening. They are unclean to you. This also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creeps upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after its kind, and the ferret, and the chameleon, and the lizard, and the snail. Now we are going to where everybody is unclean. Have you eaten snail before? Pet snail. Let me say. Alright, hand down. So, you've not taken snail, you've not taken bat, you've not taken octopus. Is it only gari you drink? Okay, don't worry, hands down. Then we'll still get to you. And the mole, these are unclean unto you among all that creep. How come this is snail? Innocent. Whosoever does touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the evening. And upon whosoever any of them when they are dead does fall, he shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel shall be, wherein any work is done, must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening, and it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falls, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean. So if it falls into your bag of money, it shall be unclean unto you, and you shall break it. And of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water comes shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every vessel shall be unclean. And everything where any part of the carcass falls shall be unclean. Whether it be oven or ranges of for pots, they shall be broken down. They are unclean, shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean. But that which touches the carcass shall be unclean. We get the message now. Verse 47, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and the beast that may be eaten, and the beast that may not be eaten. Look at verse 45, let's have verse 45. For I am the Lord that brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We said this is the crux of Leviticus, yeah? This is the law of the beast, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moves in the face of the earth, moves in the waters, and that creeps on the face of the earth, to make a difference between the clean and unclean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Amen. This looks like agriculture book, save for the fact that you're just saying clean and unclean, clean and unclean, clean and unclean. And you wonder, how can we have this book in the Bible? I thought you said every book should be about salvation. This one is not. Abi? But no book in the Bible ought to unsettle the believer. The issues arise when we start a reading from a wrong angle. And like I said on Thursday, which I'll say again, the stance where you must start reading the Bible is from the aspect that it is not about you. I'll say it again. The Bible is not about you. It is not a me story. Oftentimes what you find people do is, as they are reading,
They are asking themselves, so how does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? What can I get from this? What should I do from this? No. Primarily, there is no book of the Bible that talks to you. Or that talks about you. Every word of the prophet speaks about Christ. All the prophets wrote about Christ, not us. He is their unending muse. He is their subject and the object of their discussion. Don't forget where we were coming from. Luke 24, right? Again, we are wrapping up this teaching, so there are quite enough things we have seen already. In Luke 24, in verse 25, where his disciples were complaining and saying, you know, what happened, what happened? And Jesus came and spoke to them and said, oh fools. Luke 24, 25, come on. Come there. And slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. I want to point something out to you. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Meaning, there will be a battering. There will be a killing. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Now, whatsoever he's saying, all who have suffered to believe all the prophets have spoken, that means remove Matthew to Revelation. Genesis to Malachi is what he's talking about. And he's saying, if you read Genesis to Malachi, ought not Christ to have suffered? But, reading Genesis to Malachi, you don't see Christ suffering. What you see oftentimes is people worshipping God, not God suffering. But Jesus is saying, when you read properly, and you know school, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? Can we read verse 27 together? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all things, the things concerning himself. So can we say Leviticus is about Christ? It's not about us. It's about Christ. It is his story. We are found in that story. We are found in him. It's not about us. It's about him. John 5:39, we have seen that. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that what? Testify of me. So, from Genesis through to Malachi, they are books that testify of Jesus. They testify of who? Come on who? Jesus. So it's not a me story, it's a him story. When we realize that, then the book of my life, it comes alive. We must not be part of a modern era where every time you are reading, I've seen people just read something and say, means that we ought to act like this. No, not everything you see, you are going to act like that. In fact, as you're reading Elijah, say the fact that you take a lesson that a man served God, no, it's about Christ. I'm not saying Elijah is Christ. You know, so they say Moses is Christ. Have you heard that before? Now Moses passed the sea. Jesus walked on water. Moses led 12 tribes. Jesus had 12 disciples. It's clicking. Boy man, the first prophet in hell. What else? Moses fed Israel with manna. Jesus fed 5,000 and then 7,000 with bread and fish. There are still plenty of. Let me tell you, I did the comparison, me. I was still about 15 or 14, so that's many years ago. When I did this, I think I wrote about 15 stuffs. That most is between Moses and Jesus. First teacher getting set. But thank God for rescue. Hallelujah. Yes, I'll just be, and if I deliver it to you, one on now. Moses is our Christ. Christ is our Moses. Again, focus on the message. Leviticus is about Christ. So while you are seeing all the drama, again, we are seeing the tortures, right? We are seeing the sacrifices. Now it's as though we are moving to laws. do's and don'ts, eat and don't eat, wash and don't wash. Alright? So, why all these sacrifices and all these instructions? So, why reading Leviticus? It's about him, yet he's nowhere to be found. So there'll be gray areas to sort out. Why all these many sacrifices and laws? Don't forget, sacrifices was whose idea? Moses? Eh? No. In fact, sacrifice was Cain's idea. Yes or yes? Yes. Cain was the first person to offer sacrifices. So it was not a Moses idea that, I think there's a way we can just get to God. Let's just offer something. No. It was Cain that started. Then Abel followed suit. And so, from the genesis of sacrifices, we see that it was not offered to please God. You know, these days people go and offer sacrifice and they put it at a bus stop, is it bus stop, junctions. I remember I've seen sacrifice before. You've seen a sacrifice. I can stay in Lagos and you say you've not seen any sacrifice before. Dolapo. Sacrifice. Ebo. All they call it is Nibu. Aja. Aja ko. Laku any. What do you call it? Aja. 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 I'm not Igbo now. You have to be patient. You added something again. Alright, it's fine. Aja, Lakwe, anyone that you call sacrifice. But you have seen it before. You have eaten before. I was a student. We are coming back from VG. And there are 7 eggs there. And we're about 5, I'll be 6. And we took it. There's nothing to eat in the hostel now. Fresh egg. Now, I was just growing spiritually. That I used to say, want to just dare the devil. I wanted to see the devil. I wanted him to come. Unfortunately, we are seeing the devil every day in lectures, but we did not know. Because the devil was opposing fellowships and everything, but we did not know that that was devil. But it's fine. So we saw the egg and everything. We first walked past it to all of us. And everybody said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Is what I'm thinking what you are thinking? So after that time, we were even looking forward to see more. I wanted to place notice that please, egg has tired people. Put meat. Don't try this, so don't go and eat. It's unhealthy. It's unhygienic. Amen. It's not about anything. It's just unhygienic. It's not just hygienic. Amen. So the disciple does not see you. Won't get up. Man of God. We are gods on earth. That's why I want to come. You want to come and follow up. Follow up on who? Ajebo. Follow up on who? Just want to teach you that. Christ is in us. He's not Christ that is in Ajebo. Alright, so don't do that. It was just youthful exuberance. Amen. Alright, so we said it's about him. So whose idea was the sacrifice? Cain and Abel. So, Moses is not bringing it. And we said, did they do it to please God? No. They did sacrifice to what? To show their faith. Or, no, not their faith. Abel's faith. So, Abel brought an offering to show the promise of God is going to come to pass. What was the promise of God? A virgin woman was going to give birth and was going to destroy the serpent. Genesis 3:15. So there's a promise in Genesis 3:15. The serpent will be destroyed. Who is the serpent? The serpent is not a snake. The serpent was the one who was responsible for the unbelief of Adam. And who opposed God's word? And God gave a promise. You know what? The serpent will be defeated. And Abel said, I believe it. And he gave an offering to that regard. Alright? Then you saw Abraham also give an offering. Brought his only son. And God provided himself. Of course that was a teaching meeting. Amen. Clear teaching meeting for all of us to see. God will provide himself an offering. God will provide himself an offering. God did. at the appropriate time. Amen. Amen. So we said sacrifice and offerings are not Moses' idea. They are not even God's idea. They are man's idea to show faith in what God has said. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? To show faith in what God has said. So Moses will now give the same instruction to Israel to help them understand what Christ will do. So, reading the scriptures together, we have clearly seen that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Yes or no? Have we seen that one? That Jesus is the Lamb of God. Can we say it together? Jesus.
Jesus.
Ooh, say Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He is. So, or better put, he's the Lamb from God. Like Abraham said. So, did Israel know this? They should. Don't forget, they had the Passover. They had the Passover, where all the firstborn of Egypt died. And all the children of Israel safe. But what did they do? The blood of the lamb was at their doorpost. The blood of the lamb was at their doorpost. Let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you to the children of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto to himself every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house old be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Is this giving Leviticus vibes? Alright. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the, on the upper door of, other upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the portulence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That's nice. Because my mom always wants meat to remain. And that which remains of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. You can quote this. Amen. You are still living with your parents, you can quote this. See, let's just go straight to Exodus 12. Verse 8 says, and you shall eat the flesh in the night and roast with fire. Come good, verse 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. How about that? Amen. You know, just say, what verse 9? You say, no. Is that how we quote scriptures? Verse 8a and verse 10a. Alright. Verse 11. And thou shalt eat with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Don't forget, we have looked at I am the Lord, Elohim. We have looked at the judgment. We have looked at the destroyer. These are not things that we can go through now. And the blood shall be for you a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, so again, the cocoa is that they killed lamb. But observe something. There are people who cannot eat out of this lamb. In verse 43, Exodus 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat out of it. Don't forget, we said, who is the lamb? Huh? Christ is the Lamb of God. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was John's proclamation. Alright? So no stranger shall eat of me. Verse 44. But every man's servant that is bought for money, after you are circumcised in, then he can eat. So the criteria to eat of the lamb of the Passover will be what? To be circumcised. To be circumcised. Look at verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and we keep the Passover with the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come and then keep it. And then he shall be as the one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, in Galatians, when we're looking at the book of Galatians, so you see why some books come before some books now. You see why some teachers come before some teachers. So when we're looking at Galatians, what did we say God wanted them to circumcise? Huh? Thank you very much. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. I like that chorus. Makes me happy. Yeah, Pastor, that was basic now. Don't worry. Makes me glad. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and your and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may have eternal life. That you may have eternal life. So again, the Lord will circumcise where? Your heart. So while they were circumcising all the males, what did God have in mind? Eh? Their hearts. That their hearts will be, not that they will do open heart surgery, no. That their hearts will be rid of unbelief. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Can we verse 3 and 4 together? Want to go? Are you speaking of Jeremiah? With the plenty chapters. Yeah. Want to go? For thus saith the Lord, and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves in the Lord, and take away what? Your fall. Are they going to kill themselves and then take away the foreskin? No. They are going to... Okay, let's see what it means. Take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let my fury come forth like fire, and burn on, none can quench it. Because of your what? So, the evil of your doing. So, how will they take away the foreskins of your heart? They are going to stop nonsense. Again, Moses will say, your ears ought to hear, and your eyes ought to see. When your heart believes the gospel, then you have been circumcised. And that's why Paul will say, see, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was talking about faith in Christ. For I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not for demons. That's showing that I have believed in the gospel, and so his mark is upon my heart. I am circumcised. Alright, so the real circumcision, just like the real baptism, is not when you are dipped in water. The real baptism is when you are dipped in the Spirit. You have been baptized into one Spirit. Ephesians 4, right? Into one Spirit. We have died with him, and now we are risen with him in baptism. So the real baptism is not the washing away of water of the body. Like Peter said, come on now. It's not the washing away of the feet of the body with water. No, it is the answer to the resurrection of Jesus by a good conscience. It is faith in Christ. The same way, in the same vein, the real circumcision is not on the skin. It is in your heart. Alright, so Moses says, anyone who has not believed cannot take of the lamb. Just like he cannot call an alpha. Bro. No, it's not a bro. I'm not saying bro like your brother. I'm saying brother as in brother in Christ. It's not. Why? He's not circumcised. Let's put it in. That's in Moses' words, have it? He's not circumcised. He cannot eat of the Passover. Don't forget, Christ is our Passover, right? We saw last week, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Huh? Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. Say, Christ is our Passover. Learning something? Romans 2:29. So again, the real circumcision is in the heart. Romans 2:29 says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and his circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The circumcision is what is in the heart. Is what is in the heart. So again, we said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. We've seen that last week, right? The Lamb of God for our sins. 1 John 2. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 2. If you're sleeping, shout hallelujah. Okay. That's sound check. Like one joke like that. Said, the man was sleeping in the church. So, he just said, so just stand up. So he stood up. And everybody was clapping for him. Yeah, not only that, why is he doing that? Abraham, the pastor said, if you know you are committing adultery, I have been cheating on your wife, you've not been faithful in your marriage, stand up. So he just said, stand up. And he stood up. Everybody was like, oh. Canceling session. After service. Alright. 1 John 2:2. Can we read together? One to go. Okay. Who is the propitiation? Verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Who is the propitiation for our sins? Alismos. Don't forget. Last week. H-I-L-A-S-M-O-S. Is the atonement for our sins. You see that in 1 John 4 verse 10. Hearing his law. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son to be the atonement, the propitiation for our sins. In Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, who is the Lamb of Leviticus that takes away sin of Israel? Christ. Is it making sense now? Is that so again, all Moses was doing is that they were foreshadowing Christ and he's teaching them to believe in the sacrifice of Christ. But they were doing it every time. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. They never believed in it. So, Hebrews 10 says, because they never believed in it, they will keep doing it. Abel did it once, Abraham did it once, Israel kept doing it. Why? Because of the lack of faith. Just like divorce. Why did Moses allow them to divorce? Matthew 19:8 said, Moses allowed it because of the hardness of your heart. Scleroderma. Because your heart is hard. But your heart is not hard. Amen. Alright. Let's go. So we said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. We said he's also the priest. Did we see that last week? We checked it now. We said he's also the priest. In fact, he's the high priest. He's the high priest. And we said, whatever he has become, because we are in his story. Don't forget, it's not about us, it's about him. But what he is now, we have now become. Why? Because we are found in him. That's the idea of Leviticus. To teach us what we ought to now look like. We ought to look like the lamb. We ought to look like the priest. Because we are in him, what he becomes has now become an integral part of our nature. So Jesus is the priest. Jesus is the priest. We looked at that very well last week, Abio. We saw the difference between Aaronic priesthood. Look up. We saw the difference between Aaronic priesthood and Jesus. Abi? Hey. Abi? Okay. We saw that Aaron has to first offer sacrifice for himself. The funny thing is, as you're reading Leviticus, you saw that there are some funny things. A priest can die while offering sacrifice. So they will tie something to his leg. Yeah, I don't think I can be that kind of priest though. They will tie bell to his leg. So as he's going in the Holies of Holies, you'll be hearing, pakam, pakam. After 5 minutes, and he's hearing, pakam, pakam. It means that the priest still up. And nobody can enter, so they have to use the rope to drag him out. So Aaron first has to offer sacrifice for himself. You see, I won't offer for people, but my first talk my own. If you are Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. You know, have you ever had confession before? Let me say, you've done confession. Let me say, confession to the priest. I've done. I don't know why I went there to Dubai. Where's it going? I just wanted to see how it was like. I was a very, very, very naughty child. I just went there. The priest was like, this one is not Catholic. I was just saying nonsense. He said, Father, forgive me. I saw it. I watched the cyber cafe. So I said, Father, I have sinned. And I want to beg for forgiveness. And I was talking like a Mexican. Father. The priest was telling me, and I bad on priest. So if you have done that before, you and one of the things that, as I was doing it, I was laughing. Because I know this priest today is singing now. And that's what in my head. Sorry if I have destabilized your, but the priest today sin now. Who will he now confess to? Himself, I have sinned. No. So that's the way Aaron was. Aaron had to offer for himself. But he said, Jesus, because he is without blemish. We see that, just like the lamb of Leviticus, without blemish. A lamb without blemish. Same with the lamb of the Passover, without blemish. Say without blemish. I'm sorry, is that what Jesus wants the church to also be? Yes, Ephesians 5. Abi? Without blemish. Holy church. Unstained from the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God helping us. Amen. So, we said he is the priest. And he has made us to also be. In 1 Peter 2. What do priests do? They offer sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 2. Please turn that. He's the same God. He's the same story. He's the same story. Christ offering himself, asking the church to do the same. Same story. 1 Peter 2. We start from verse 5 and we read to verse 9. The entire church. We start from verse 5, we read to verse 9. Once you go. As lively stones. We have built up a spiritual house. Holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore also, it is contained in scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, but unto them which are the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him that who has called you out of darkness. Is this what Moses was telling Israel? Huh? Yes. Say, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is literally Israel. A peculiar people. Show forth the praise of the person that called you out of Egypt. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, you the believer, you are built up a spiritual. You are a royal priesthood. Just like God wanted all Israel to be. All of Israel. The issue, God never wanted just Aaron. Moses was the one that chose Aaron. Why? Because Israel, nobody will agree. So Moses now chose Aaron. You know what? This is an example to all of you of what God wants you to become. In Exodus 19, look at Exodus 19 verse 6. Moses already told Israel that God wants to have all of us as priests. Exodus 19. Come on, let me see. You there? NIV. Read for me. I don't like versions, so just cruise. NIV, yeah? You be for me, that's okay. You be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Is that what KJV said? Huh? A kingdom of priests. Say a kingdom of priests. That's what the believers ought to be. Kingdom of priests. Offering sacrifices. Every day. Everywhere. Every time. We are priests to God. Priest does not mean pastor. Even though every believer ought to be a pastor. At one stage or the other. You hear what I say now? You hear what I say now? Every believer is ordained to pastor. At one time or the other. You hear very ridiculous statements like, I don't want to be a pastor. That's an irresponsible statement. So those who do, they are stupid. Or you hear a lady say, I don't want to marry a pastor. I asked one time. The truth is even that we said we don't want to marry you. So that's like, let's just remain like that. I don't want to marry anybody that doesn't want to marry a pastor. So get out. Amen. Who are you? I'm not even that fine. You're only fine in Christ. Just kidding. You are fine. Alright. So she said, I don't want to marry a pastor. I said, why? Say, every time people will be coming for counseling. You know, you have time with your husband. Then we got talking. And then while talking, he said that it was a marriage we were talking about. So I said, they are going to see pastor next week. So you will go and see the pastor. And you have appointment with the pastor. He does not have a wife, Abby. If his wife was like you, I told her, if his wife was like you, as stupid as you sound, you will not be able to get married like this now because you will not be able to see the pastor. No. You don't talk like that. Amen. Yeah, you don't even use your mouth to jam talk. Because I think I've told this story before. I don't want to marry pastor. I thought. Eventually she got married. I married someone who frustrated her ministry. You know when someone's not doing ministry, I'm not allowed you to do your own. You marry pastor in Jesus' name. I just gave you an instruction. You marry pastor in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Joy, don't bother saying amen. You have married. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Don't you like pastors? How long? Don't you like pastors? I'm looking at faces now. I want to see. Don't you like pastors? Don't like me? Hallelujah. Alright, so Israel, which is the church of God, is meant to be a kingdom of what? Priests. Priest, like I said, does not mean pastor. Priest means you are sacred. Called apart. Oh, I respect priests. The modern day Catholics and Anglicans. Oh, I respect priests. Oh, that's some life. You know, when someone comes out and say he's not getting married. Oh my. That he will just be in the church. I was talking to someone, they said, they are paying money, or they are collecting money. I said, you don't have sense, so you are just fine. You are collecting money, are you not collecting money where you are working? Amen. A kingdom of priests. Priest means you are separate. You are not like everybody. You realize that there is a higher calling. realize that there's a greater cause. Moses said, we are a kingdom of priests. Look at Revelation 1. Learn something. We are a kingdom of priests. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Why? To show forth the praises of him that called you. To show forth the praises of him that called you. There are believers who, that nobody has seen Christ in your life at any time. They see you go to church, but they don't see Christ. Someone who has not believed the gospel does not see a difference between you and him. And that's some sad news. That's some cancer. You are in a room with unbelievers and they don't see a difference. They just feel same. Not me. Lie. I will first make that distinction. Let it be clear. Let it be known that I am called apart. I answer to the name of Jesus. Revelation 1 verse 5. We read verse 5 and 6 together. Are you there? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. He has made us kings and priests. That's royal priesthood. He has made us kings and priests. That's what God did for us. He has made us kings and priests to reign over the earth with his word and to offer sacrifices. In Revelation 5, verse 7, and he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them apes and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you are slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us unto what? Unto God. Kings and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. You know, we will reign in life. No, reigning in life does not mean, I've seen people reign in life, say we reign in life. When we say things, it come to pass. When we say we want this, it will happen. When we say we don't want this, it will not happen. That we are reigning in life. That's not what reigning in life means. Reigning in life means you are ruling by the word of God. It means you are getting men saved. It means you are doing God's will on the earth. You are imposing God's will in a dark world. You are bringing light in a dark place. Then you are reigning. Reigning does not mean, I want a car. And I just got a car. Oh, that's not raining. Everybody does that. There are people who don't even want it. People dash them. I know someone that they dash a car on the wedding day and they dash it out the same day. He didn't even take it home. As I dashed it, I should go. I think I was just thinking, like, I said, I should go. And he just threw the key. That's when someone. Say amen. You are learning that. Just manage it. Manage. Let's us. Hallelujah. You want to manage it, Abby? Hallelujah. Don't mind. Reigning in life is not about that. It's not about material wealth. Reigning in life is you're ruling in a dark world with the light of the gospel. He says God has made us. Revelation 5:10, Revelation 1:6. He has made us kings and priests on the earth. I'm king again. So, we are in his story. What he is, we have now become. So if he is the Lamb of God, then he has made us also to be sacrificial. If he is the Lamb of God, he has made us also. The highlight of Leviticus is, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. That's the highlight. So what he has become, we have now become. So if we say, in Leviticus, who is the priest? Come on, Christ is the priest. We said the believer is also the priest, called out to a separate kind of life. To offer sacrifices. Not just to offer it, to be sacrificial. Also, he is the Lamb of God. And so we have also now become objects of sacrifice. If he is a sacrifice, then we should be too. Because he's our example. He's our example. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For whereunto, this is where you are called. 1 Peter 2:21. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So Christ suffered for us. Is that the lamb of Leviticus? Alright? He suffered for us and he did that as an example. As an example. As an example. 1 John 2:6. Brethren, he that abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He ought to walk even as he walked. So Christ has become our example. Look at Romans 12. That's where we stopped last week. Pick it up from there now. Romans 12. So we have partaken of the Passover, and now we ought to be lambs ourselves. And I trust God this morning that what he really wants to say to us, we get to us. Amen. Amen. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. When you hear living sacrifice, holy. Is that Leviticus? Obviously, we have read it too much, I should say. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, that's your worship. Which is your reasonable service. He says holy. The word holy there is the word agios in the Greek. H-A-G-I-O-S. H-A-G-I-O-S. It means to be sacred. To be without blemish, to be separate. He says, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Let's start with the living sacrifice. How do I present my body a living sacrifice? He says in verse 2, be not conformed to what? To the pattern of this world. Look up. So the world has a pattern. And I think it's something we should talk about more often. When we're going to start church, I said to God, and as an oath, a covenant, that we will never entertain people. We will not do this to get crowds. That we want to be Christians who love God truly. Not just a community. Not just people coming together every Sunday. No. We want to be followers of Jesus true and true. And God will help us. The world has a pattern. Paul says, don't conform. Now the word conform there is a funny word. I explained last week. Suschematizo. Let me spell it. S-U-S-C-H-E. S-U-S-C-H-E. M-A-T-I-Z-O. S-U-S-C-H-E. M-A-T-I-Z-O. Suschematizo. It means to squeeze yourself into a shape of something you're not. Now, another historian gave a perspective. It means to dress up like what you're not. Have you seen all this LGBTQPA-HIV before? Which I don't think any believer should give into that nonsense. This is not a battle of inclusive nonsense. You don't do that in the church of God. Because that was where I was born. You need to be born again. That's how you are born. To act like a woman or to act like a man. If you are a woman, you not touching me, you not say, I don't know, I just don't feel it. When I look at the mirror, I don't recognize myself. Then you are mad. You should be going to a psychiatric ward, not to now say you want to identify as a man. You are not a man. You're a woman. Amen. I'm saying, you are seeing how serious I am with this one now. Because it's seeping into the church now. It has started.
Some people say, you know where, you know what, Jesus just loved everybody like that. I know. Amen. But Jesus did not say, stay the way you are. He said, come the way you are. He did not say, you now stay like that. You cannot with the Bible justify that you identify as a, okay, identify as someone that has eternal life. Unless if you have it. Things don't work that way. Identify as a rabbit. Oh yeah, now. The rabbits play PS5. Rabbits, and you're playing PS5. Rabbit that is going to walk. You're not a rabbit. So, you see a man, comes and say, he identifies as a woman. You understand like this in front of me? So I don't recognize myself. Say, how do you know, when did you know that you are a woman? Say, they told me. Since I was young, I used to wear female clothes. All of us. Almost everybody. If they just see that there's no clothes, all your clothes are dirty, they wear anything for you, just for the meantime. I saw a picture of me wearing female clothes. Now, all my toys were pink. And so? My toys were pink, you know, and sometimes when I just stand in front of the mirror, I don't see a man, I see a woman. Maybe you should first get glasses. The issue is not even your brain. Let's first see, maybe you will see properly. So I just see a woman. So, some people now told me, say, no, when you identify as it. So I told them, I said, so, if they now tell you that you are not a woman again, will you agree that you are a man now? Define a woman. Say, a woman is one who identifies as one. Mm-mm. Define a woman without mentioning woman. Say, it's not about biological, it's about what now? Physical. Chemical. How did I get to all of that? Then, you see that? Deluded person that say he's not a man, he's a woman. Because that's delusion. In church, I'm going to say that one without reservation. That says, he will not start dressing like it. Right? So, you start seeing a man on high heels with lipstick. That's his sister Dora. With lipstick. Then with long hair. What else? With his very yam leg. You see leg like this, and you think you're a woman like this. Yam leg, strong, if he eat you, you'll get injury. He said, I'm a woman. You're a woman. Just say you want to be going to female toilet. And they will open the door for you. That's your identifier as a woman. Now, you now see the person start to dress to fit. That's suitematism. That's not what you are. So Paul is saying, when you see the pattern of the world, it was not for you. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. I hope every day, I hope we wake up in the morning and we go out and we don't conform. Because the truth is, the world calls. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Rather, present your body a living sacrifice. Don't conform. There'll be times where you just want to feel among. One of the things I told myself while I was on campus, I will not feel among. If you know me very well and if you still know me, I don't beg to feel among. I don't. I will never. And one of the things you must, a lot of people, because of company, you don't want to lose friends. You don't want people to say, you are weird. If you can come to me and tell me I'm weird, then you probably are weirder, because I'm probably more of a human being than you, like this. How can you tell me I'm weird? I'm not. I just answer to the name of Jesus. That's all. Nobody has ever told me I'm weird, by the way. Just I'll let you know what I'm saying. This is it. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But because a lot of people don't want to lose friends, they don't want to lose company. There was one brother like I was discipling in campus. Every time I go to him, he will be full of fire in his room. He will be doing, oh glory to God. No, he was in my class too. He will be doing, ha shatara baba ye kataya baba ya taya ba. We will pray songs together. Immediately I leave. Someone can come in with whiskey. This brother, the moment you just poke up for him, he does not drink it though. He doesn't take it normally. But he wants to be like, bring it now. We'll take it that one again. You tell him, you cannot talk to a girl. You start telling him, teach me now. Then I'll come to him again. He said, of course, okay, my teachers everywhere. I'll come to him again. He'll say, Pastor Yemi, God bless you for me. Say amen. See, keep teaching me these things. Keep teaching me these things. So one day, I already know, someone has told me. I was now peeping from the window. Why is he talking like this? We just finished praying together 2 hours ago. And it was boasting. He said, I went to meet her. I told her, I said, see, my parents have money. I told her, I even took her to supermarket. We bought things. Hey, I was like this brother. I said, me jawolini. See, you're mad. I dragged him by the shirt. He said, we're going to pray. He said, say that prayer or prayer. I said, prayer. He knows what I mean when I say prayer or prayer. I said, prayer. I said, you need prayer in your life. Say, Pastor Yemi. And we just sat down. Why are you conforming? Why are you trying to be what you're not? The world has a pattern, but it's not for you. What God has called you to do is to present your own body. Let it ring. Present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Don't conform. One of the things I learned very early in my Christian walk, I still hear it very well in my left ear. Prophets walk alone. I have said it so much, I walk by it. If because of my conviction and commitment to Christ, people decide to leave me, I'm okay with it. As long as I'm with Jesus, I'm fine. Prophets walk alone. God told Israel, said, when I called Abraham, your father, I called him alone. Who walked with Elijah? Who walked with Moses? Can you mention 7? Can you mention 5? This is not to be solo. This is not to be isolated from the world. No, that's not what I'm talking about. This is not to make friends. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is about Christ and you. When I called Abraham, I called him alone. That's what God said. Prophets walk alone. I first heard it from Pastor Yakilome. Then Baba Yedeko said it some years ago. Said, see, prophets walk alone. Because if you try to please everybody, then you won't please Jesus. The day you start to try to please everyone, then Jesus is out of the picture. Pray for me as I close. Present your body a living sacrifice. Holy! Holy means sacred. That means there's a sacredness to the life of the believer. There are things to do and things not to do. There are things to try and things never to try. So say, well, Pastor, I have an interest in I would have loved to try. That's where the sacrifice comes in. Because a living sacrifice. If your life, look at it very well, and it's not a life of sacrifice, then something is wrong. If there is nothing you have given up for Jesus, find something to give. I said again. If there is nothing you have given up for Jesus, find out what you ought to. Because we are programmed to be lambs of God. When we were born again, we were born to be lambs of God. To be sacrificial. To be separate from the world. He says holy. Without blemish. Present your body. Present your eyes. Sacrifice. Watch what you see. Oh, be careful with your eyes what you see. Be careful. Present your body. I mean, we're talking about the physical body now. Present your body a living sacrifice. Sexually, present your body a living sacrifice. Present it. We must not be part of a generation where everything just come and go like that. People don't care. They don't give a hoot. No, we must not be. It must not happen. Age after age, time after time, generation after generation. When I was much younger, you know, when things happen in church, we were like, hey, now you see a lot of repetition of that. No. Present your body. Present your tongue. a living sacrifice. Don't talk anyhow. Use your tongue for the gospel. When last did you actually preach? Because you love Jesus, not because you went on outreach. Because you want to see people saved. Because to see people serve Jesus pleases you. It makes you glad. When last was that? If that doesn't happen often, then there is no fire on your head. That means you're not a sacrifice. A sacrifice has fire. Moses will say, put fire about it. Round about the altar. Round about the altar. It's a holy thing to the Lord. What's your sacrifice? Where is it? What have you left? What have you said? Ah, Jesus, you took this from me. Is there anything? Or you're just like every other man? There's a pattern of this world and we're not made for it. It's not made for us. Our life and living is different. Totally. There are things you hear now. There are things that happen in my life, and I'm close to it. I'm close to tears. Because I know what can happen. I know what should happen. I know what could have happened. But Jesus is King. Amen? He's King. Jesus is Lord. He calls the shots. Me? I just follow. Present your life a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. He says, that is your service. That is your first service. I know you sing in the choir. I know you in the media. He said, that's not your service. That's not that. That one, we can all do it now. We just put ourselves in different. This one is for organizational purposes. I'll put ourselves in this. Everybody can sing. I've not seen anybody in this world that cannot sing. Except the person cannot talk. The only difference is skill. And skill does not matter here. The cocoa is to sing. Anybody can sweep. Just put ourselves in different. That's not the service primarily. The service is not first with your voice. It's with your life. It's not first with what you're sweeping with. It's with your life. You need to look back. This is a call. Every time we have a teaching like this, it's God calling out to you again. Reminding you of who you are. A priest. In his house. To offer up daily sacrifices. As you work with God every day. As you do his will. He's calling out to you. And he's saying, present your life a living sacrifice. Present your body. Every part of us was made to honor him. Every part of us was made to live in obedience to him. Are you living like that? Our tongue is for his message. It's not for pulling down the body of Christ. Find people who find it easy to talk about churches and pastors and other believers in a very, 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 very dirty manner. That's shush. You just talk anyhow. With the same tongue, you've not preached the gospel. Or you think that's for missionaries. Every missionary is a Christian. And every Christian is a missionary. It's not a separate ministry gift. Say, that one is called to be a missionary. No. We all ought to be. The only reason why you are still preaching is because Roshala is going to say, ask for report. It's because Sister G is going to ask you, where's your report? Who did you see? When did you follow up? And that's why sometimes it's always good to stay in locations where those people are. I don't deceive myself. I remember some years ago, I just always said, I am not going. I was meant to live in the US. But at that time of my life, I said, nah, it's not going to happen. The truth is, I think I was strong. I didn't even think I was strong. But I was already preaching. And that was some years ago. That's way, way over a decade. I said, nah, I'm too far from the voice that can correct me. The voice that can correct me, I'm too far. The time zone is different. I will wait more years. And everyone around me was, whoo, I'm just going to disown you. I'm going to... I thought that you know, you should know me better by now. Disown? Should know me better. Different family meetings, different church meetings. I said, I am going to stay at the center of God's will for my life and let whatever wants to happen, happen. Because I knew that if I stayed away, I doubt I would still be preaching. I doubt it. And some of us, it's because of people around us. You know, when pastor sees you, pastor is going to look at you somehow and say, how far? So you can preach by. And sometimes those are things you just consider. It just keeps you check. But when they are not there, what happens? What if those people are not there? Will you see serve God? If that's a no, then you're yet to understand what Christ has done. You will need to sit back this morning and pray again. Lord, here I am at your altar. In reckless abandon, arms open wide. Use me the way you want. Because at the end of the day, I said it on Thursday, 200 years from now, nobody will remember your name. Except in the sands of time, you put your feet very, very well on the ground. And you influence people for the gospel. We still have Billy Graham. He's been gone for a while now. Reinhard Bonnke is one of my very all-time favorites. I don't know who I love more between Brohagen and Reinhard Bonnke. Sincerely. I love Christ for African, Christ for all nations. So much. I pray for them almost every day. Now under Evangelist Daniel Kulenda. Almost every day. That was one of the first ministries that inspired my walk with God. Reinhard Bonnke. He's the one that taught, that said, no bargaining with the devil. So I'm not going to give the devil any bargain. I'm not going to say, take this and I'll take this. No. He said, all my life is for Jesus. No bargaining with the devil. His name is still being mentioned. Oh, he said, that was recent. What about Smith Wigglesworth? What about R.W. Schambach? Those names you know I've forgotten. Ora Roberts. Still very much fresh. Still very much here. G. Lake. John G. Lake. Charles G. Finney. John Wesley. Those are names that will not be forgotten. While I'm gone, those names will be mentioned with mine. Amen. It shows you that wealth is not about it. Paul is still being mentioned. He's been gone for over 2,000. We're still reading his works. Because when you make your life about Jesus, it makes everything about you. It puts you there on the sands of time. No matter how much wealth, we don't know the richest man in 1900, just about 100 years ago. Who was the richest man in 1900? Nobody knows. Nobody even cares. But I'm still mentioning Schambach. a living sacrifice. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. The cup that won't run dry. Every other thing runs dry. There are people who all they live out their lives was a happy marriage. Fine for you. So when you're married and you're happy, what next? See, that's all. You will discover the chosen. There were people that had everything in your marriage. And everything still went apart. Because there's still that broken link and man keeps looking for it. He put it there for a reason. I told you. He formed the reins of our hearts. He put the boundaries to the sea. He put the longing in every man to seek after him. We've seen it now. Huh? Romans. Abi? To the unknown God. Every man has it in them. A living sacrifice. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursdays, on Fridays, on Saturdays, every Sunday. It's not a performance. You're not trying to appear like a Christian. No, you are a Christian. You're not trying to appear like you're serving God. No, you're actually serving God. And His peace floods your heart. You actually love Jesus. You're not trying to form it. You have a lot of performance in the church today. On Sunday morning, you are all glory. On Tuesday, we don't know where you are. On Wednesday, something else. There's no point in that. His fire is calling. His altar is vacant for you. For you. Jesus, touch me. Let me make it all about you. Help me to help me. Help me. I actually want to love and serve you. Wherever I find myself. I actually want to honor you with my life. You know what Revelation said? What John said in Revelation? He said all things were made for His pleasure. All things. You are part of it. All for His pleasure. Because one day, we are going to stand before Him. A judge no man can bribe. And we are going to give account of our lives. There's someone I take seriously in the Bible. It's Paul. Thing very seriously, because I've read his books, I've read everything Paul wrote at least thrice each, and I can tell you that he has weight with his words. If Paul tells you that this is light, it's light. If he tells you that this is serious, it's serious. His words have weight. He is so skilled in writing that he has value for words. There are writers like that. Value for words. So there's a way he can write that you might not take it that serious. And there's a way he will write that you know that this is serious. And when Paul mentioned that our works will be tested with fire, it is too serious. Paul is one of the greatest proponents for joy in the Holy Ghost. He said it in Romans. Righteousness, peace, and joy. He said in Galatians. He said it in Philippians. Rejoice forever in Philippians 4:4. If someone with that much emphasis on joy tells you will cry, then you take it serious. He says, there will be sorrow. The only consolation is what he calls it, is that you are saved. He said, our works will be tested. He said, every man will stand before him and will be judged. You must have eternity in mind. Eternity is longer than now. It's not 1,000 years old. It's forever. I want to be able to say, when I was here, I came in the name of Jesus. I walked the face of the earth. And the voice I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome back home. Pray for yourself this morning. a living sacrifice. Fire about the altar. Fire about the altar. You can stand, you can sit, you can do anything. Just ensure you pray for yourself. A life worthy of your call, worthy of your glory. Peter says to show forth the praises of him that's called us from darkness. Every day I want to show forth your glory. I want to show forth your praises. I want the world to see how great you are. I want your majesty to exude from my life. In my choices, in my living, in my speaking, in my walking, in my company, in my friendships. A living sacrifice. To be called apart and separate. To be without blemish. To be holy as you are holy. To give myself to you, Lord.